Black Girl Nerds is now on Patreon, and Jamie needs your help. If you would like to see this community grow and keep its sustainability, check out patreon.com/blackgirlnerds. That's patreon.com/blackgirlnerds. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell everyone, and help Black Girl Nerds grow and prosper.
This is Tony Todd, and you're going to be listening to the Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast. Stay tuned.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls. This is episode 14. It is Xena, Real Queen of Horror, here with Ashley Blackwell of GraveyardShiftSisters.com.
Happy spring.
So on tonight's episode, we are going to be discussing comedy and horror. And then after that, we are going to discuss the movie Hush.
Hey, so Xena, you've been busy. Tell people what you've been doing.
Okay, sure. So I started this new segment on RealQueenOfHorror.com just called After Midnight, where basically I just interview people in the horror community, rather if you are an actor, director, fan, blogger, writer, whatever it may be. It's been awesome. So every single Friday at midnight, I post it up on Real Queen of Horror. So you're welcome to check that out. So far, I interviewed Jimmy Dempster. He is an actor. He was on the CW's The Originals, as well as I think that he's currently still on what is that show called? Dirty Maids?
Devious Maids?
Thank you. Dirty Maids. Dirty Maids! Yeah, Dirty Maids. Well, Devious Maids. I also interviewed Viner Mika Madness. She's also on YouTube. She's really awesome. And I interviewed blogger and filmmaker Brian Martinez. So it's been pretty, it's been awesome. And then this Friday, I have another interview coming up, which if you want to find out, then you should just go to the site. Most likely, obviously, it will be up before then, but every single Friday at midnight, you can find a brand new episode.
Do you interview your guest after midnight?
No, because, you know, I don't want to be a creeper. Hey, you have to be available. But I chose the name because, you know, I'm a night owl. And I just was trying to think of a time where I could be consistent. Because truth be told, I told you this already, I'm not a morning person. And usually in the afternoon, I'm pretty busy. But I notice when I get a lot of work done, it's usually around midnight, actually. So it just kind of just fit with the name. And plus, I just thought the name was cool.
Yeah, the name is really cool. I'm glad you decided to do this. It's really interesting. I am curious, is there any kind of fun story behind why you're doing After Midnight? Or are you just kind of doing it to really put out some really great content?
I wanted to do it to put out great content. I used to do interviews consistently when I first started Real Queen of Horror back in 2011, but I kind of fell off and I was focusing more on reviews. I just felt like it was time for a change. And plus, on top of that, it's awesome getting to know just different people who love the same thing. So
I agree.
In hopes that, you know, someone, you know, listens to it and they become a fan of someone new or a movie that's new.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it so far. I hope you keep doing it, obviously.
Thank you.
I'm also interested in your latest Spooky Empire.
Yes.
I don't know words tonight, but yeah, your second annual Spooky Empire venture.
Yes. What's that?
I was just going to follow up and ask you what was going on at Spooky Empire as far as, you know, just not just meeting celebrities, but just conversing with just other fans and having fun, networking, that kind of stuff.
It was pretty amazing. Things didn't go as planned as I wanted. Originally, I was just going to go. I couldn't decide if I wanted to go for a weekend, you know, going Friday through Sunday, or if I just wanted to go for Saturday. And being, you know, how my job can be sometimes, I just decided to go on Saturday. And I had it all planned out that I was going to wake up extra early because I live in the Tampa Bay area. And Spooky Empire is in Orlando. Orlando's about an hour and 30 minutes away. Now, that doesn't seem too bad. But at the same time, there's a lot of tourists, so it's like literally people from all over the world driving on one road, and sometimes that can suck really hard. And on top of that, it was just raining like terrible. Like, I know when it rains like in Philadelphia, it's just like regular rain. No, here it's just like bricks falling on your car like sometimes. So it was a little crazy. So I left out later than I wanted to. Originally, I wanted to leave out probably like at 9, you know, see if I could beat out the traffic. But I ended up not leaving out until about 1 in the afternoon. And then I got there, I know, and I got there about 4 o'clock. So I missed out on everything awesome. I know as far as it goes with like the schedule events that they had, had going on, at noon they had like question and answer kind of panel thing with Troma's Lloyd Kaufman. Mm-hmm. Then they also had another one with Anthony Michael Hall. I really wanted to go to that
one. Yeah, you wanted to meet him.
His line was too crazy, so I ended up not. I actually didn't meet anyone that I said that I wanted to meet, but it was still worked out well because instead I was able to sit in Paul Sorvino's conference, but his question and answer panel. And you know, he's in Goodfellas and Dick Tracy, The Rocketeer, Romeo and Juliet, Repo, the opera, The Devil's Carnival, which is awesome. So which he's really, really cool, really great, nice guy, just awesome. I did want to go to the Godzilla panel, but it was too crazy and too many people. And I know the day before, two things that I just kind of like missed out on in life. And it's just like, oh, I can't believe that. So on Friday at 7, they had Day of the Dead cast members up there. You know, so everybody's telling you I wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
So they also had an Amy Steele panel.
Yay.
From what I heard, that one was packed, so I probably would have never been able to see anything. And they also on Sunday, which I was thinking about going back, but I know that I couldn't because I had other plans. There was this film festival that I actually attended just to check out some movies, but there was the Dream Warriors panel that they had at noon on Sunday, and they had a Weird Science panel at about 1, so I thought about it, but just didn't really happen for me. But instead, I guess I'll just tell you who I met. I Alex Vincent, and from Child's Play. I met him, and you know, he had like a line or whatever, and I wasn't gonna wait in the line, but I was just like, everyone else has a line, so I might as well. So I met him, took some photos with him. He was really, really awesome. We actually talked just briefly to see if I could, you know how I am. You want to do an interview, you know?
Yeah, right.
Plus, I found out, and I think I told you this before, he lives in Clearwater, which is about 25 minutes from me. So, you know, it's pretty convenient for me with that. I also met your Heather, because I saw your
phone. Yes, my Heather.
Your Heather. She was really great. I wasn't going to say anything to her because every single time, the first time when I was talking to Alex Vincent, she wasn't there. And she was kind of near him. She was kind of near him, and she was more closer to Mike Christopher, which I met him before, and he's just awesome. So, which he had a line. So, I mean, I was going to say hi, but I already met him, so it was kind of like, eh. So, I wasn't going to, like I said, wasn't going to wait in, you know, Heather's line, but then I was like, okay, I might as well. But anyway, she wasn't there the first time. Then, you know, I went off, did some other stuff. I dropped off, of course, you saw some Girls Will Be Ghouls stickers, and I came back and they were gone. So I guess people just love that. And then probably like a couple of hours later, I came back just to see, you know, who else was in there. Because I did want to, you know, meet some of the cast from Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and especially from Day of the Dead. But some of the cast from Day of the Dead, their lines were, they were just swamped. I mean, I saw them in person, and, you know, it kind of felt pretty cool, because even though they didn't, you know, they probably forgot all about me, and they don't know my name, there was a brief second where our eyes connected. So that's all I really wanted. And, you know, I felt pretty good. The same thing with Anthony Michael Hall. So anyway, but back to Heather. Came back. She was there. She was sitting there. And she was taking a picture of this someone dressed up as Bender from
Futurama.
Yes, from Futurama. Yeah. But he was all, like, wearing, like, Freddy's costume with the hat. And it looked, yeah, he had to, like, kind of bend down a little bit to get through the door. So it was pretty cool. So she was, like, taking photos of him. And I was just kind of standing there like a loser, just gawking at her. And Rico actually came with me, and my brother and sister-in-law came along with me. My sister-in-law, she's not a fan of horror, but she was having the time of her life, which, you know, done. But, it, you know, brother-in-law, he's, you know, he's down for the horror. You know, Rico, he likes it, and he was just, you know, happy to be there. So he was said to me, well, yeah, why don't you just go say hi to her? And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know. She's looking at me. So then, you know, I went over there, and I just said, you know, I just wanted to say hi. And I just think that you're great. And you are just, look at you. So I don't remember, just something along those lines. And she was really nice. She gave me an awesome compliment that I'll take to the grave, because it just, you know, when you're just feeling like, oh, no, I look ugly today. But, you know, just felt good about life, because she said, you don't look like a horror fan. You know, you look like you could
she
be.
She said
like,
that?
Yeah, she said, you look like you could be in a horror, you know, movie, and, you know, as one of the girls, and it's just bless your heart. But you know what? I'll take it. You're awesome. And she took a photo with me. Here's the thing that just, like, whammy time. You know, I was willing to pay. I just made sure I had my money together. But she did not charge me. And I felt nice. Pretty good. Yeah, she was awesome. The same thing with Alex Vincent. I guess because, you know, people, it doesn't, I guess they don't really feel comfortable when you stare at them from across the room and somehow they could still see you. And, you know, my eyes can widen a little bit. My eyes are kind of small. But anyway, I had a really awesome time, and I purchased a couple of things, actually. Well, it was more of one thing, but it came in one huge mystery box, which I did a video on. Just basically, there was this vendor there, and I said this, but I forgot the vendor's name, and I feel pretty terrible, but, you know, they were selling these mystery boxes. They were, like, between $30 or $35, where you get just a whole bunch of stuff in a box, and probably about six items. And at first, I was going to buy some of these pens. I've been trying to step my pen game up. So I was going to buy some pens from London 1888 because I found them and I've been stalking them on Instagram, which their stuff is so awesome. You definitely need to check them out if you love t-shirts. They sell purses, they sell pens, they sell really awesome original posters. Like, they even have this this Freddy Krueger poster, but it kind of looks like the Straight Outta Compton poster, and it's mixed together.
Nice.
But it looked really awesome, and I was thinking about buying either, I was going to get some pens, like the Stuff pen, they had an Exorcist pen, was going to get that stuff, but then I was looking around like, you know what, I want to buy something like that I know that I'm going to just be like, oh, I can do a video, and it's not just, you know, typical, like this is what I got. So once I saw that vendor that was selling the boxes, and I've been seeing people walk around with these orange boxes, found the vendor, was talking to the guy, and he said, well, basically, you can win a couple of things. Like, I know one of the things you could have won was a Nintendo DS, you know, which would have been cool. So
wait, a Nintendo DS was in one of those boxes?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, might as well, 30 bucks or so, I'm going to do it. So, and it was pretty cool because I got to pick out any box, and then I could pick out another one, and then I can compare. This one box that I kind of more fell in love with, it had like one of those little pop-up dolls in it, or figures in it, and it was Twisty from American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm. The Funko Pops.
Yes. So I kind of fell in love with that one, and it came with also, it came with like a little teeny Domo, which is really cute. An Alien Half Bishop Android plush. Which
that
is,
was cute. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really cute too. And, you know, just like a Hellboy like action figure, a book as well that comes in the back. Then there's like this anime art book that's kind of naughty. And these post-its, Betty Page post-its, which I already opened those, and I'm just a post-it girl, so they're everywhere at the moment. So that's pretty much what I purchased. And oh, I got some, I got some pens from Troma. You know, I stalk Troma, so had to. So it was an awesome time.
That sounds like fun. I was going to say, you mentioned Rico, and okay, so here's a story and why I love your videos. So I get like notifications on my phone. So if I subscribe to a YouTube channel, sometimes they'll give me notifications if someone posted something new. So I saw you posted something new this week. I think it was maybe Tuesday. And so I saw it said Real Queen of Horror. I just read that and I saw YouTube and I was like, ooh. And then I did the swipe thing on the phone and saw that you did it on the invitation. So I got super excited. So I'm sitting at my desk at work and I'm looking on my phone. I got my headphones on and I'm listening to it and I'm watching it. And I am cracking up. Like, everyone in the office thinks I'm crazy. I don't care. But that is like, that video made my day. So thank you. Do more of these. People, listeners, watch Xena's Madhouse Monday movie reviews, please. They are so well put together. They're funny. They're well edited. They're informative. They're so much fun.
Well, thank you. Thank you for watching and even subscribing. So we have to talk about what you've been up to first. Okay. What's going on with your Attack the Block DVD giveaway?
Yeah, so I'm doing the whole DVD to Blu-ray conversion with my collection. So, and I have plenty of stuff that I'm gradually giving away over the course of however long periods of time. There are some DVDs I am waiting specifically for the timing to be right. There's one that's coming up in the next few months. You'll understand what I'm saying once the time comes. But basically, Attack the Block was one I've been wanting to give away for quite some time. But I've done giveaways before, so I wanted to do something really different and unique. And it took me so long to come up with it because I really wanted to think of something really unique. So I was thinking to myself, you know, everyone loves this. This movie is universally loved. I'm pretty sure there are people who don't like it, but you know, it's mostly a beloved movie. But it's, you know, regardless of the fact that it's, you know, five young men in the movie, I'm like, I know people have imagined, like, what would it be like if it was, like, you know, five of, like, their favorite actresses, like the young actresses like Zendaya or, you know, Alexandra Shipp. Like, who are these other young girls out here? There's one I can't think of. I can't think of her name. Yeah. But, yeah, these young girls who, like, yeah, Amanda Stenberg. Like, you know, like, who would be really cool if we got to do Attack the Block again, like, as a sequel or, like, a remake or a reboot or whatever, and it was five girls? Like, I'm curious. I really want to know how people feel, like, who would be your top five, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the basis of the giveaway is. Like, you know, send me your top five. And if, you know, if it's like, you know, you have to be creative with it. Again, I always stress creativity. The most creative, you know, gets the DVD. And the contest ends on April 30th. So you have about a week and a half left if you're interested. Your post will be posted on the site. You'll get the DVD and some other goodies because I always have goodies lying around my office/bedroom. So if you want to grab something. If you want to get an opportunity to get a movie for free, there you go.
Okay. And when did you start this giveaway?
I think I started it April 1st. Let me check. I believe it was definitely that first Sunday in April. So April 3rd.
Okay. So people had like a way been more than enough time.
Yeah. For that. So a month-long thing. So yeah.
Okay. And tell us about your Black Girl Nerd / Graveyard Shift Sisters meet up.
So it started, I forget who created the Blackfinity Gauntlet Black Podcast meetup that was at Amalgam Comics and Coffee House in Philadelphia. So that was the first big event. That was March 17th. I don't remember the exact date. It's such a blur. But yeah, that was a crazy busy day. Jamie from Black Girl Nerds, shout out to her. She came out to, you know, she stayed with me for the weekend. We just, you know, just I gave her just a place to sleep, you know what I mean? Because we were out the entire time, just networking and meeting people. So it was really fun to like, once the event started, the crowd was insane. And so there's a lot of people who came out. We didn't know there was going to be a panel. There was a panel. Like, you know, just the organizer just came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder. He was like, hey, I want you on the panel in like 10 minutes. I'm just like, I thought I was here just to chill, but okay, I'll do a panel. So we did that, and there was wires and computers and stuff. So people were trying to televise it and put it on YouTube and stuff like that. And so we're just kind of, you know, talking. A lot of very exuberant and rambunctious personalities were there. The Black Tribbles were there. That's my local podcast family from Philadelphia. You know, the Black Geeks, of course, BGN, my loved older brothers from another planet. They were there. They came from New York. Also the Fan Bros, Tatiana King, everyone, like a lot of people came out. I know our friends from A Nerdy Little Secret came out, Martin and Sharon. Also, shout out to Erica from Dark Matter. She came out and did a little, she was just kind of there doing her thing. And I also think Temple Times was there, Temple University, the newspaper for my old college that I graduated from. So yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was very informative. It was loud. It was crazy. I was tired towards the end because I'm an introvert and all that energy is kind of draining, but I kept it together and I had a lot of fun. And the meetup afterwards was at Front Street Cafe, which was just a few blocks south of Amalgam, and we went there to have a light dinner and drinks and kind of talk with each other. And so a lot of people from the Black Community Gauntlet event came there, and we just had fun. It was a nice, quiet evening. It went from a crazy afternoon to a more chill, relaxed evening, and no complaints. I wish I was able to do more a formal giveaway, because I did have a few Blu-rays and DVDs and swag to give away while I was there, but I didn't get to do it a lot. I tried to, because it wasn't a microphone, I was trying to yell. I was like, and my co-host Zena, real queen of horror, I'm like trying to yell so people know your name and know your site, because I'm not doing this podcast by myself, clearly. Mm-hmm. So I did that as well. And yeah, that was just, you know, that was a very fun weekend. Tiring, but fun. My March was pretty busy.
That's so awesome. It seemed like you guys had fun. I saw the photos.
Mm-hmm. Up, a lot of photos.
It looked great. And as far as it goes with you being a guest host on Nightmare Fuel.
So that came on a whim. I don't know how long from HitFix is, I think it's a pretty big website. The editor, one of the editors there, Chris Eggerson, mm-hmm. I think I'm saying his name right. I saw his article on Tales from the Crypt Demon Night, and everyone who knows me knows how much I love that movie. And so I retweeted the article because it was from a while back. And I started following him on Twitter, and then he started following me. And then I get a message saying, hey, I've got this show called Nightmare Fuel that I have to do every week. Do you want to be a guest? So I was like, sure. And, you know, I am so not used to being on camera like that. But I had a really good time. I tried to be myself, relax, talk, because, again, talking is a challenge for me. So I was able to do that the first time around, and that was great. And then, you know, at the last minute for episode 8, because I did episode 7, that was my first one. And in episode 8, he contacted me at the last minute because he knew, I told him I'm pretty much free on Thursdays. And he said, hey, can you do it? Because my guest had to drop out at the last minute. And I was like, oh, I did the Tina. And so I said, you know, yes, sure. Because I still, you know, with the things I struggle with, even though I'm very stubborn, I still want to, I want to be a better person than I am. And so with the whole talking thing and, you know, really being on the spot as far as having an opinion and being a talking head, I want to be better at it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went on there and we had a really great conversation about the invitation, about the Neon Demon trailer and all this other fun stuff. So I hope I get to do it again. And I can't thank Chris enough. He, you know, he just randomly just admires my work and just decided to say, hey, you want to do this show? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah.
Well, it's awesome. I actually did watch the one with Neon Demons when you guys were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you did a great job. So
thank you.
Yeah, and I hope that you are on it more as well.
That would be cool. That was a lot of fun.
So maybe you could be a regular.
No, my God. Oh, goodness. I'm not ready for that. Maybe I am. I don't know. I don't know what I'm ready for. But yeah, so I'm glad the two of us are having a nice work-life balance with mm-hmm. everything, keeping horror first and foremost.
Absolutely.
At the top, but yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
That is it. Let's get into some movies.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to get into our theme discussion on comedy and horror.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Destroy it utterly. Send Rick and Danny in War Rocket Ajax.
So, just destroy it?
That's what Ming said. Don't you ever listen?
Well, there's no arguing with Ming.
Hail Ming. Wait, you see those transmissions on the Visua screen?
Crow? Nightmare on Elm Street?
Chud 2? Black Belt Jones?
Nightbreed?
What's a critter?
Oh, I've seen those things.
Flash? I guess we could wait a while before the destruction.
Yeah, and watch some movies.
And talk about them.
The Hen Ming Palawa. Disobedience to Ming. For now.
You can find us at Legion Podcasts.
You can find us on Facebook.
iTunes.
We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
At You know what? Just Google it for yourself.
Just Google it, you bastages.
Hail Ming.
Breaking 2? Electric Boogaloo?
Samurai Cop?
Army of Darkness?
Flash Dance?
We might destroy the planet if it's Flash Dance.
So, yeah, I picked comedy and horror because it's a theme. It was going to eventually be a theme we were going to talk about, but I randomly picked it, but because I was just like, well, what haven't we talked about? What would be, you know, different and kind of would be an interesting topic to kind of discuss that I don't really give too much thought on, because I really don't. I do like comedy horrors and horror comedies, but I really don't talk about them on the ridiculously nerdy intellectual level that I usually do. But I found out some interesting stuff, and I thought it was kind of cool. Zena, how do you feel about, you know, comedy horror and things like that? Like,
I love comedy horrors, actually. I always feel like it's a good icebreaker for people who sometimes they don't, I don't like scary things. Well, this is like a good way for them to ease themselves into it. So I'm a huge fan of comedy and horror.
That's a really good point. I never even thought about, I don't know. I just don't. I have friends who are not horror fans, but you brought up a really good point about the idea of if you want to give someone an introduction to horror, or if you're with friends who say they don't like horror, well, let's watch a horror comedy because it's an easier segue into, you know, a movie that they might enjoy and that you'll enjoy as a horror fan. So
mm-hmm.
I never even thought about that. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I found a couple of articles on comedy horror, like even the aspect of a horror comedy versus a comedy horror. Like, do you feel like there's a difference?
I'm going to be honest with you. I did not feel like I don't feel like there's a difference. Like, I did read your article that you sent me from Bloody Disgusting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but
I felt like, well, I've just been using it wrong my whole life then.
I don't feel like it's wrong. I honestly, even though the author makes a good argument, I think you could still argue your case for how you feel about horror comedy or comedy horror or however you want to say it. That's the other thing too. Like, mm-hmm. I guess there's a difference, but it's splitting hairs, but it's not like, but I'm not completely for or against it either way.
Right.
Like, so basically, how did he talk about like horror comedies or comedy horror? So like a horror comedy is a horror movie that balances like funny elements. Comedy horror is basically a comedy film that has horror themes.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what's a good example that he used? So Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is, let me go back. Let me start with Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is a comedy, essentially a comedy movie,
mm-hmm.
but not the theme, I guess kind of the aesthetic of the film and what the film is about. Like it's about ghosts and, you know, exorcisms and things like that. Not really exorcisms. What am I talking about? But whatever. But I think that that's kind of the gist. Or like another good example of a comedy horror is Serial Mom. And I never thought of Serial Mom as a horror movie in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but I can see what he's saying because it is essentially about a serial killer, but it's much more lighter in tone.
Right, right.
And then like horror comedy. So what essentially is a horror movie like Scream, but it's so self-aware that it's funny, that it has those funny moments in it. So
I can see this. Like, I never really thought that Scream was a horror comedy. And I remember there's plenty of funny parts in it. But I don't know. I never looked at it that way. Not saying that anyone's wrong or anything like that. I just saw it as a slasher. And I feel like a lot of slashers, I guess they do have that comedy element, so I didn't really see it as that.
No, I feel the same way. It's, I think for me, Randy was the what is the word? He was kind of the wild card in mm-hmm. a sense, as far as that's, he brought the comedy to it for me. So that's why, like when he was on screen and his delivery and some of his lines, I'm like, okay, it's a serious film, but when Randy's on, for some reason, it's just like, okay, I can see what they're doing, and Randy to me was like a tension reliever, but in that sense that you could argue that the movie is a horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about it. But
okay,
and yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you more. I gotta be honest. So
yeah, I also felt that Matthew Lillard's character Stu.
Yeah.
He was funny. Like, because he would just tell jokes, so, like, I don't know if Randy was trying sometimes. I think that was just his life. So, but, yeah, I think you're right about that. Just kind of lightened up the mood kind of thing, so.
Good point. I feel also another thing I researched was the idea of, and it's funny because it's true. Like, if you go see a horror movie in the theater, or if you're watching with friends, or even yourself, if you're watching something, like, sometimes horror films, whether it scares you or not, whether it scares you or not, sometimes it is going to elicit laughter,
mm-hmm.
even if you're fearful. Like, I think... I think it was Paranormal Activity 2, and I went to go see it. I was laughing at other people. Like, I guess I was laughing at their reaction. Because for me, especially on first watch, it was very creepy. I think it was just kind of the atmosphere and just where my headspace was at that night. Like, and the movie just kind of intensified whatever fear I was feeling. And the reactions from other people who were legitimately scared and having these reactions to it made me laugh. And even I remember, and it makes me angry still thinking about it, to be quite honest, but when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake,
mm-hmm.
So I'm going to clarify, and some of the people, and like the audience was just laughing at the most inappropriate times. And I was just like, I literally was about to yell out, like, it's not effing funny. Like, yeah. Seriously, because it just... I think I was just more mad at the movie. I wasn't mad at the people. I was mad at the movie. Mm-hmm. But long story short, I like the idea that some people who were talking about online about comedy horror, about the biology of it, like fear, like, you know, fear and laughter or screaming and laughter are kind of work in tandem, kind of as a defense mechanism to make us feel safe. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how our bodies react to what our minds necessarily can't process at one moment or another. I thought that was interesting. And I thought, and it kind of segue into like why comedy horrors or horror comedy, however you want to say it, works mm-hmm. as a mishmash genre. So I thought that was cool too. I don't know how you feel about that though.
Well, I don't know. I guess it just also goes back to, even I remember last episode, we talked about what you may consider scary or not. And obviously it's different for everybody. Just like with comedy. Like I know with Werewolf in London,
mm-hmm.
that one's considered funny. And I don't know. I really didn't think it was funny. So not that I thought it was a bad movie. I just didn't think it was funny. It didn't make me laugh. And then didn't they do like a remake of Werewolf in Paris or something?
Yeah.
And that movie was not funny to me at all. So I guess it just kind of depends on just like your preference. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm answering your question.
It does, yeah. Because you're right. Not everything is scary to you, to one person. And mm-hmm. not everything is funny either. It's very subjective.
Right. I mean, I do feel like they, you know, horror and comedy, they have some things in common, but especially just that, just different tastes for different people. So
yeah, because I'm thinking about it, like I had mentioned this on Twitter not too long ago, because there's a lot of the lists we found about comedy and horror, like Cabin in the Woods. You know, I like that film. I appreciate it. But, and this is going to veer off topic. So I want to just make this, I just want to make a comment because it did show up on, you know, one of the best horror comedies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, it's one of those movies where I should have watched it before, like, opening night. Like, I should have just went blind because all of the hype for that movie, and I waited like a good solid 7 months before I saw it, and not like purposely, I just didn't get around to it until a certain point in time that year it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And for those following 7 months, from the time it came out to the time I saw it, everyone was talking about how it revolutionizes the horror genre. So I'm going into this movie with these unrealistic expectations, and I'm just like, oh, it was okay. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't hate, like, there's no dislike or hate of this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all that hype really, it dampened my experience, because all of these people were in my head while I was watching it, because I'm right. expecting to see something revolutionary, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, so I learned a big hard lesson from that movie. I'm just like, if there's a movie like that again, I'm just going to go see it before anyone says anything about it to me, because, It's that still hurts. I don't know why, after all these years.
No, it's understandable.
That's still a movie that's disappointing because of that hype.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely understandable. I mean, I did enjoy it, but it's not like I didn't think it was the best movie ever. You know, like some people may mm-hmm. have thought. But I do think that the comedy, it's definitely there. There yeah. were some things that was so ridiculous. So it was awesome.
Yeah, that made me want to segue into like our favorite film, favorite comedy horrors or horror comedies. Mm-hmm. And I want you to start first because I have my top five, but I wanted to see what you wanted
sure.
to say.
Sure, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to start off with Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, mm-hmm. Australian horror movie, full of gore. It's amazing. There's a pastor in there. I'm sorry, I'm laughing already. But yeah, there's a pastor in there. For those of you who've seen the movie, you know his famous line. It's awesome. I'm also going to go with Monster Squad, Fred Decker's film from 1987. And it's very kid-friendly. I mean, there's some stuff in there, but you know how little boys can be gross sometimes. But it's definitely an awesome movie, and it's hilarious.
Steve Miner's House that came out in 1986.
Oh, yeah.
Love that movie. And one of my favorite villains is in that movie. Absolutely love it. It's, I feel like that movie has the perfect mixture of comedy and horror. Because there's some stuff in there that's kind of freaky. And I remember when I first saw that, I wasn't born when it came out. But when I first saw that, I think I was probably like in third grade. And my brother, he rented it so we could watch it. Best thing ever. I was terrified of certain situations, especially this one monster that involved a closet. I know that it just sounds like, oh, that's typical. Yeah, no. So that's definitely a really good one. I'm going to also go with Mickey Rose and I think his name is Michael Rich. Their 1981 cheesy movie. It's called Student Bodies. It's really terrible, but it's terrible on purpose. Like, it's basically Scary Movie, the movie Scary Movie from the 80s. Like, that's what that one is. You know, they use all the stereotypes of horror movies, putting it all in one. I'm also going to go with Arachnophobia. It involves spiders, and even though I really don't care for spiders, but there was definitely plenty of comedy in there that involved some death scenes. That was pretty cool. Another Australian movie, Housebound. Love that one. I was surprised. It actually took me a while to watch it. Because I remember when I think I just watched it last year, even though it came out in 2014. I don't know why. I don't know if it just took a while to be released here. But I don't know if you remember when it first it came on Netflix. And
I do.
Yeah, I was able to check it out then. It took me a while to watch it, a couple of nights, but not because I wasn't interested, but every single time I would put it on, I'd just go to sleep. But one, you know, I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to watch it. So then I was able to complete it. Loved it. Another Peter Jackson, The Frighteners. One of my favorite movies. I really love this movie so, so much. And not that I'm trying to give Hollywood ideas or anything, but I'm just really surprised that they didn't go after this one because it is pretty awesome. It involves, well, have you ever seen it?
The Frighteners?
Mm-hmm.
No, nope, never have.
Okay. I don't know if it's still streaming on Netflix. I know at one point it was. Not that you have to like it, but basically this guy, played by Michael J. Fox, he used to be an architect, and basically he starts, he just becomes like an exorcist who goes after evil spirits, and basically just claiming that he has the gift after his, I think it was his wife, they get into a car accident, and she dies. So it's kind of like that, and he sees dead people, but the dead people who he sees, they're awesome. And especially since it was made in like 1996, the way it looks, how the characters are developed, really entertaining and hilarious. I'm also going to go with, I know I have like a, I just watch a lot of comedy horrors or horror comedies. I'm also going to go with Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
Part 2.
Yes, Part 2. Part 1 was cool. You know, I love that one. But I think that part two, it seemed more of a comedy horror rather than the first one, even though there were funny parts. Especially because this girl, like, she gets her head bitten into like an apple. And it sounds like, literally sounds like an apple. And just finally, I'm going to go with Detention from 2011. Love that movie. And I just feel like you're getting two movies in one and kind of more of three. So it was just an awesome movie. Never seen anything like it before. So what about your list?
Okay, so I have more than five now that I think about it. Okay. It's going to be a mishmash of horror, comedy, horror. It doesn't really matter. My first one is Repossessed.
Mm-hmm.
The Leslie Nielsen, one of Leslie Nielsen's comedies with Linda Blair. And she actually came back and did a spoof on The Exorcist.
Oh, awesome.
And this is one of those movies that, this is easily one of those old school movies that they would show on network TV cut. So I remember watching this when I was a kid, and it even has like kind of a song, like like a theme with like lyrics and stuff. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember loving that movie. Also, I think So the tie for my favorite horror comedy of all time is Return of the Living Dead Part 1 and Beetlejuice. I say Beetlejuice because Beetlejuice was that seminal movie for me where it's just like, I think I was around maybe 5 years old when I first saw it. I don't think I went to the theater to go see it. I don't think my mom took me to that one, but she did have it on VHS. And this is around the time, so what, I think Beetlejuice was like 88. So like, yeah, like 89 maybe, because yeah. So, and I remember I watched it and I was just like, this is the weirdest but most awesomest movie ever. Like when I was a kid and seeing like, was it Winona Ryder's character? I'm just like, oh my God, that's so me. Like at a five, I'm like, Lydia, I'm just way too self-aware for a five-year-old. But no,
she's awesome.
Yeah, it was like a light switch. I'm just like, this is me. There's something, I feel different because I love this weird off stuff. Like this is not, quote, kid stuff. This is me. This is whatever darkness and lightness is that's in this film and all the ghosts and things like that and the black and the goth and stuff. I'm like, that is just me on some very real level. So I think that's why I identify with that film so much. And Return of the Living Dead is just that. It's that fun zombie movie that I every now and then I'll just quote to myself just to make myself feel good if I'm having a bad day. And I also, you know, I love the whole punk aspect. Like when I was in my early 20s, I went through kind of a punk phase. So that movie was really cool to see. And again, there's a lot of personal identification with who I am as a person with that movie as well. Also, I mentioned earlier Serial Mom, which is just so batshit crazy, love John Waters. Movie. And I just love it so much. When I first saw it, I was, again, too young to really see it. And any movie, any John Waters movie, you're too young to see. And so I'm watching, and I'm just like, what is going on? And why is she saying Pussy Willows?
I love when she said that made me the woman I am today when I heard her saying that stuff.
She's prank calling this woman and torturing this poor. I'm like, who comes Dottie? Up with this crazy
what
stuff?
What was her name? Dottie, the lady who she
I
was.
I think so.
It
and
was.
And then she was cursing her out in court.
Dottie Hankel.
Oh my goodness. I just remember like Justin Whalen being a pervert and, you know, Ricky Lake before she had the TV show. Mm-hmm. And like Matthew Lillard was in it too.
Yes. Like, she was. Wasn't she there? That was her son or something.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky Lake and Matthew Lillard were her kids, and the guy from Law and Order, like the original Law and Order, the lawyer, he was the father, I think. Like yeah. It was just this. Kathleen Turner just was crazy in this movie, so yeah, it's one of those. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen Serial Mom, you have to see it.
Yes, get your life together.
And also another really obscure movie called Old Dracula from the 70s. It's like, it's one of those movies, I wrote a review on it on the website. It's like one of those, I don't know how to really describe the movie. I know it was written by a British guy, so I think it's a British film, but it had Teresa Graves in it, and everyone knows Teresa from Get Christy Love. She was on that relatively well-known TV show, and it's basically about like a version of Dracula and his, also the original title of the movie is Vampira. And so he wants to bring his wife back from, like, she's, like, in some kind of, like, stasis state where she's, like, sleeping and she can't wake up. And so he needs blood to bring her back to life. And so he has this, so Dracula has this big dinner party with these beautiful, you know, British models or whatever who come to stay with him. And so they do, like, they do some kind of weird blood transfusion where she gets the blood she needs to be revived. And Dracula's wife turns from white to black. And then a hilarity ensues. But it's a bizarre movie, but it's a lot of fun. It's one of those movies that makes it's kind of light commentary for the times, because because old Dracula's kind of a play on kind of like Dracula is this it's kind of like a message to Dracula, like, you need to get with the times, man. But, you know, but Dracula is really, like, set in his ways. Now his wife is black, and he doesn't know what he he doesn't know what to do, mm-hmm. basically, after that. So, but it's a fun movie to catch if you haven't seen it. Some people have asked me online where to find it. I got to be honest with you, I don't think it's streaming anywhere. I bought a DVD copy, so it is on Amazon.
Okay.
So you can check it out, see if it's on Amazon streaming. I'm not sure, but you can purchase it. All right. Also, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, that movie is everything everyone says it is. That's a really good, one of those kind of, I guess you can call it meta-horror, but it's also a really fun film to watch. One of my favorites is Tucker and Dale vs. Evil as well. I love that movie. Like, I think it's still streaming on Netflix. I know if you're, don't be taken aback by the cover. It's one of those films that, like, it's well worth the watch. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of subverts, it subverts those, like, those wrong turn-esque horror tropes
mm-hmm.
in a really funny way. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Yeah. So, I recommend that one. Also, I did see Zombieland with, what's that guy's name? Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy is Jesse Eisenberg, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see that movie opening night in the theater. I had a lot of fun. I did laugh quite a bit having it. I had a good time. I think I saw that movie twice in the movie theater. I don't know why I saw it twice, but I think I might have seen it once with someone else and saw it by myself. But yeah, that's as far as mainstream horror comedy, that's a good one to check out. Again, that's another one that goes back to what you said. Like, if you want to show, like, your friend or your family member who doesn't like horror, that's a good movie to show them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two more. Demon Knight, I would arguably be considered horror comedy. Again, I think Billy Zane brings the comedy more than anyone or anything else. So, of course, that's an easy favorite. I wish it was on Netflix streaming, because we would have been done it for Friday Night Horror. Like, no question. Like, once that streaming again, that's the movie.
Yeah.
And also, last but not least, now that I think about it, what could be considered comedy horror, what could be, is The Golden Child. Again, another, have you seen that one?
I've seen it, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, see, I own it. It's one of those movies, it's one of those Eddie Murphy movies from the 80s that no one really talks about. And it has genre elements, which is why I say kind of it's a comedy horror, because it's Eddie being Eddie, but there's demons in it, and female, like, you know, half woman, half dragons, and kids floating, and, you know, being all majestic and mystic and things like that. But that's a fun ass movie. So I don't even know where to start as far as articulating how good this movie is. It's a movie that doesn't get the respect it deserves. I don't know why.
Which is surprising, actually.
Yeah, because Eddie Murphy is really funny in it. And then you have all of these other ideas that the movie's trying to bring in about, you know, rescuing this kid and there's more to just, you know, saving a kidnapped child. There's all these other supernatural elements that are involved, and he's a skeptic. So it's a good movie. So I don't know what else to say about it. That's a discourse film that I gotta go back and forth with someone on. But yeah, those are my I can't think of any more right now, but I think those are my quintessential favorite horror comedies.
Okay. Yeah. I was actually, since you mentioned it, as far as it goes with more of the mainstream horrors for people to take a look at if you haven't seen already, Shaun of the Dead is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
So is Scary Movie, obviously.
God.
I actually watched them all, but the first one is my favorite. The second one is still funny. The third one, you know, but that's a good start. It's more of a comedy, actually.
Did you see that in the theater? Did you see the first one in the theater, or were you too young?
No, I wasn't that young. How old was I, maybe? When did it come out? Was it 2000 or was it 2000?
I think it was 2000. I vividly remember. Yeah, I think it was around that time. I think I was maybe fresh out of high school. I'm not sure. Because I remember, because I was with my friend, right? And so the theater was just, it just exploded. Like, when those every, like, bizarre scene that was meant for laughs, like, the entire theater was just in a roar.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we came out of the theater and we're just like, because there are so many inappropriate jokes in it. And you remember the one part, I think it was like, I forget which one, not Marlon, Sean Wayne's, when he does the thing that Omar Epps does in Scream 2, where he puts his he puts his head to the bathroom stall.
That was part two, right?
No, that was in the first one, because I remember, because my friend, it was. Me and my friend were talking about that part, and she was like, there were kids in the audience. Why were there kids there? I wouldn't even know what that was if I was a kid. Yeah, and I just started laughing because she was having a fit. Like, she was like, there shouldn't be no babies seeing this movie.
I love the part with the gym teacher, Mrs. Mann.
Oh my God.
That was, how old was, I think I was like, if it came out 2000, I think I was like 13. But I don't think I've seen it in theaters. No, I didn't see it in theaters, but I just, because I remember everybody was always talking about it, and I just didn't know what was going on, but when I saw it, and then, you know, I remember my mom had got us a DVD, and of course, you know, we had to watch some of the deleted outrageous scenes, which they're really good, by the way, so that's a good one. Well, this one's not really mainstream, but Fido's a good one. It came out in, like, 2006.
I don't think I saw that one.
With those, you can have like a zombie as a pet, kind of like in the Pleasantville. It's kind of like Pleasantville. It's like described as Pleasantville.
Fido.
Fido.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Pleasantville of the Living Dead. Some people call it. And then Santa's Sleigh, of course, that one's ridiculous. And Eight-Legged Freaks, and there's Killer Clowns too from Outer Space.
Oh yeah, so
that one's crazy.
I just recently saw that for the first time.
I love the soundtrack.
It was a weird movie, but
yeah,
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it makes me happy. So did you have any other ones you wanted to share?
That was it. After this episode comes out, tell us on Twitter or anywhere. Mostly Twitter. Just tell us on Twitter what your favorite comedy horror comedy is. And we will retweet it and talk to you about it. So.
Okay. And so when we come back, we will discuss Hush.
Hush was released in 2016. The synopsis reads, a deaf woman is stalked by a psychotic killer in her secluded home. This was written by Mike Flanagan and Kate Siegel and directed by Mike Flanagan. I believe that they are a husband and wife couple. And the movie stars John Gallagher Jr. as the man, Kate Siegel as Maddie, Michael Trucco as John, Samantha Sloyan as Sarah, and Emma Graves as Max. So, Zena, start us off, maybe? Because I have thoughts, but, you know.
Sure.
What did you think?
So, before we actually do get into it, just so you guys know, if you have not seen this movie and you do not want us to spoil it for you, this is now the time for you to pause it and come back once you watched it. Or, if you do not mind hearing our gracious voices disturb this movie, will mess it up for you, then continue to listen. So I'm going to say that I actually really like this movie, surprisingly. Of course, it has like the typical setup. Like, it just seems like so many other slasher movies that I've seen before. You know, you have a house in the woods and there's a woman all by herself because she needs to think. And or she needs to write. But it completely took me for a surprise. And it's usually like, you know, when you're watching like a slasher and it'll take literally like 5 minutes before you see like kind of like a point of view shot and it's someone watching her in the bushes and stuff. But this one, even though it does have like some things that we're familiar with, it actually takes the genre to a completely different, just takes it completely differently from what I thought, and it's refreshing. So first off, Maddie, who's, you know, the star of this movie, she is deaf and mute. And it's like when someone has a disability, not saying that this is for everyone, but you know how if they're showing it on film, it's like someone has this disability. Instead of it, her just being portrayed as a woman with this disability and she's like, you know, she can't really move forward. You know what I mean? And her life is all about her disability. The character Maddie is not like that at all. She's confident and she just learned how to live with it. And she's still just continuing on. It never seems like her disability brought her down or... Of course, obviously, just watching it, you know, for the hour and 30 minutes or so of the film with that, I didn't notice anything of that. And then even as far as it goes with this killer who's watching her, is that the director or who, do you know who the killer was?
It's not the director. It's this John Gallagher Jr. guy. That was the stalker killer guy. He does look familiar though.
He's in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? It was funny because I'm crazy and I've watched way too many episodes of this show more than once. Law and Order SVU. Because when I'm seeing him on 10 Cloverfield Lane, I'm just like, why does this guy look familiar? And I'm like, oh, he played. And it's so crazy how some guest stars are so memorable, and he was. And then I'm seeing him in Hush, and I'm just like, again, I'm like, where do I know him? Because he looks totally different. He didn't look totally different. And I'm just like, oh, he was in 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'm crazy. I know faces, but I never remember where they are. Like, it always takes me forever to remember. But yeah, that guy.
Yes. I just think that he probably just looks different just because he was just more clean cut.
Yeah, clean cut. And he was playing, and he was so menacing in the movie. Mm-hmm. So his voice was deeper.
Right.
And he was much more, like, calculated and... Like, it was just creepy. He played it really well. And so
I agree. And that's something I was going to say, that instead of him, you know, being, you know, when he was in it on 10 Cloverfield Lane, you know, he was just charming and goofy, just this goofy guy. And now he's just all, you know, on this one, psychotic. So one of my favorite parts, as I said, spoilers, one of my favorite parts is when he's wearing his mask. He pretty much takes his mask off, you know. And she was like, oh, I didn't see your face. But he wanted her to see his face. And it really does show how crazy, in the film, it showed how crazy he really is, really was. Because one of the things that stood out is that, and I miss seeing this. At least I don't see it as much. I remember watching a whole bunch of, you know, slashers from the 80s. And Night of the Demons come to mind. And I know they're nothing alike, but as far as with these demons, they were playing with Judy and playing with Roger. They could have killed them at any moment, but they wanted to play with them. And I felt like with the man, he basically was doing the same thing to Maddie. Because he could have just came in there at any time. He could have, you know, he had a lot of chances to get her. I don't feel like this movie is just like doing something completely new, as I said before, but it does have some new elements in there that I think is like really refreshing. Especially, I love the part when she gets his like bow and arrow, and then she's trying to like run away, but then she drops like the little arrow and she tries to grab it, but then he stomps on her arm and her fingers.
It was
awesome. And like was it Kate Siegel, was that her name, who plays Maddie?
Yes,
she did an amazing job. She pretty much carried, you know, the movie. And I think I read an article where, because, you know, pretty much because she's, you know, deaf and mute, she speaks sign language, and I read this article where apparently people were saying, oh, she wasn't even saying some things right. But, I mean, I don't know, because it looks so real to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure with a lot of other people who's not familiar with sign language, I'm pretty sure that they felt like she was doing a pretty awesome job. But, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed it. I loved the buildup of it all. You know, I loved where it was headed. I loved the first, like, the opening scene, because we didn't have to be as the viewer be told that, oh, she's deaf and mute. Like the way it was filmed, that opening scene when she's cooking in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and they kind of like change up the sound when they zoom in.
Yeah.
Perfect. And that's something that I always thought was awesome. And I was actually just talking about this today, that the best kind of director is the kind of directors that you do not know is there. And I kind of felt like I was there with her. So I really like the movie. I think that this movie will please people who love the whole slasher genre. So what are your thoughts?
That's interesting. You brought up some points that I didn't think about. I did think about them, but I just wanted to kind of expand on what you were saying. I thought it was interesting because there may or may not be an issue with him showing his face so early or showing his face at all. But I think that scene was so poignant because I don't think he would have taken off his mask if he didn't say anything. And it's not about, and it's kind of about, you know, pulling the rug from under Maddie, because it's not, he doesn't want anything from her. He just wants to kill her because he's crazy. There's no rhyme or reason. And I love, especially horror movies, that, you know, you have an antagonist who's just, you know, doing his thing, just his or her thing, just because. So him taking off that mask and him taking, because I didn't expect it either, because I'm watching it and I'm just like, and yeah, especially so early on in the film, he takes off his mask. I'm like, oh, like I was kind of surprised. I think that, you know, again, like he wanted to taunt her, and I think the taunting is, you know, it's not about this disconnect with a mask. You're not, like, it's easy to see a monster, if that makes any sense. But if someone's taking off a mask, you are essentially seeing a person, but you're also seeing a person who has no, who from your vantage point really has no conscious, no, just the only thing that they have right now is this desire to do harm to you. And I thought that was really interesting. It's kind of like, it kind of distorts, not that you're ever on his side, but it does, I feel like for me, it does, that it tries to play on this distortion of the limits of, I don't know if I'm saying this right. I just thought, I thought it was really interesting that you are seeing a person who's just in just a psycho, mm-hmm. and you're seeing it in that home invasion, more contemporary manner, fashion.
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but I just thought it was interesting. I'm just trying to make sense in my head about, you know, the significance of him taking off that mask and him showing her, because it was more to it than just, from Maddie's point of view, oh, if I don't see his face and if I try to reason with him, he'll go away. No, he's not going away, and he's gonna show you his face. Like, no, I'm here, and that's frightening. Needless to say, I did like this movie. It was one of those movies that showed up on your Twitter timeline. If you're following Blumhouse, it's a Blumhouse production. I love what those guys are doing over there. So, reading those articles and saying, you know, oh, check out Hush on Netflix. Sure, you know. I was never a big home invasion film fan, because there's a few of the big ones that I don't particularly care for. Mm-hmm. But this one I loved. And again, going back to what I said about Cabin in the Woods, I loved that I went into this film. I knew very little about it. I just saw the stock frame, the photo that they've been using online to show Maddie and then the killer behind her from the window door or the window or whatever. And so that's all I really saw of the film about, and that's all I really knew. So when I'm first watching it and I'm seeing what the director is trying to convey with like mood and atmosphere and sound, I thought it was interesting. I'm like, I wonder what he's doing. This is cool. And then it's the revelation that Maddie is deaf. I'm just like, oh, I didn't, you know, going in not knowing very little really helped, because it was a really pleasant surprise to see, you know, first of all, I'm thinking she's cooking dinner for two, but no one ever comes except for her
neighbor.
for her neighbor, who I thought was her lover. Because I'm like trying to figure out, like, is it, because it looked like she was making this really, like, fanciful dinner for two people that was going to be intimate or whatever. But no. So the aspect of her being deaf was really cool. I loved the interaction between her and her neighbor. I liked that her neighbor was, and not, and I don't, it could be argued that it's kind of, what's the word? Fetishy. Like, she's kind of like, yeah, I'm trying to learn sign language because I just want to better my horizons. And I have a deaf neighbor, so I can talk about deaf people. Like, that's how she kind of came off. But it seemed very genuine that she had an interest in communicating with the neighbor. Like, they have a really good relationship. She liked her book, you know. And I, of course, I love that Maddie's a writer. Of course, I love Nate. Of course, I love writers. So, from jump, you really like these people that you're watching. And so when that moment comes later on, when it gets dark and the neighbor, what's her name again? I never remember names. It's so hard for me. But
yeah, I actually forgot her name as well. I forgot it. it's Sarah, right?
It's Sarah, right? It's Sarah.
Okay.
So when she comes to the door and she's begging on it because she can't hear, because she's, you know, she can't hear anything, and you can tell she's being terrorized by someone, I was like, my heart sunk a little. I was like, oh, I really liked her. Oh, man, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, oh, she's done.
Yeah.
Who's this crazy-ass dude? So, yeah, I really liked the... I think bringing in the element of her being deaf really made the movie interesting, because the whole cat and mouse game, it was just like, you know, in what ways is she going to, how would a person with a disability, you know, combat this without all five senses? Mm-hmm. And that's really critical. And, like, you know, there are particular scenes, especially towards the end, where that was utilized, like, you know, feel, you know, because, you know, because they say if you lose a sense, the other senses are heightened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, her sense of, like, you know, touch and, like, you know, because when she felt his breath on the back of her neck in one particular scene, she was able to act before he did. So she was able to get him. I thought that was really cool. And the way it was filmed as well. And there were other aspects too. What was the other one? Oh yeah, with her smoke alarm. That was a good one too. That she was able to, that came back. That was introduced in the film earlier and came back later in order for her again to survive. Spoiler alert: she survives. And then Sarah's boyfriend. His name is John. And when he comes in, he was just so dumb. Can we talk about John for just a second?
I felt so bad for John.
Okay, some random guy, you know, this girl's out here alone, and possibly with your girlfriend. Some random guy's out here, and he claiming to be a cop.
Yeah,
you're supposed to ask for the badge.
I just kind of felt bad for him, because by the time he caught on, clearly it was too late. And then with, you know, Maddie banging on the window, so that didn't really work out for him. He gets stabbed in the neck. But
I knew it was going to be too late, but it's one of the, again, like, I kind of black girled this movie, because I'm watching it, I'm just like, don't do that, why didn't you do this, why, like, I kind of did that a little bit, because I love the fact that you're rooting for Maddie, you're rooting for Sarah, and even John, and when things don't work out, you're like, oh, damn it, you know? So I think that's just kind of my reaction to it. I did want to say, I wrote a note. I said, I know you want that cat, Xena, with exclamation points.
I was looking at her cat. Like, that just looks like a really great cat to have. So, but... I was going to just go back to Sarah real quick. I felt bad for Sarah as well. I did like her. And I was thinking as she was leaving when I first watched it. Because like you, I didn't watch the trailer. I made sure. I try not to do that anymore. I just read the synopsis. But a very, very brief synopsis. Like that. There's this really awesome website that have like the awesome synopsis where they're not giving away everything. Mm-hmm. So...
But yeah, so when I first saw Sarah and she was walking home and it was like late in the woods, I was just like, yeah, Sarah, that's not a good idea. But, you know, she kept on going on. And I was actually going to just bring up two things that I really liked about the movie. The first thing is I love how, you know, more bodies start to come up in the movie, like the blood and gore, it kind of like intensifies. So it just becomes more, and I noticed that. And then I love the fact that there is really no score in this movie. And I love that because it matches well with Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Maddie's awesome. Like, I feel like she is she's an awesome final girl. So, and even with this man, he was really intimidating, actually. At first, I thought he was kind of corny, but then over time, because it was just like, he was just out there, like, lurking for hours. It's just, you know, it was just really awesome. So far, it's probably one of my favorites of 2016.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely worth a rewatch. I recommend it as well.
Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
No, I mean, even for people who've seen it or who haven't seen it and still listening, I feel like I've pretty much, because it's a very straightforward film, but it does a lot of cool and interesting things that do make you think deeper about it. So there's not really much more to really really say, I feel, to an extent.
No, I agree. So do you want to give it your rating?
I don't know. You know what? It's not a perfect film, like, but it's really good. I guess 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Okay. So, as far as it, what about your Minority Report?
Oh yeah. Well, it is. It's pretty white, so give it a 1. But again, it's a film that could have, you know, could have starred anyone of any persuasion. But that never matters. But it's always, you know, it's always important to kind of measure visibility, especially in genre films. But you know, this film was just a good watch, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Not doesn't even matter, but it was pretty white, but you know,
okay.
It's not a bad thing.
Alrighty. I'm going to actually give it a 5 out of 5 Queen Skulls because I really liked it. It surprised me, and I don't have any complaints about it, actually. Like, I can't think of anything. You know, I like to complain, but I got nothing. And then as far as it goes with Minority Report, I'm going to give it a 2 Kincaid token factor because her ex boo
is a good guy.
Yeah, which I forgot his name.
His name is Craig.
Craig. Okay, out of all the names, you guys, Craig. Okay, well, Craig. Then,
but you're right. You're so right.
Yeah.
Because I remembered, like, his name.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look at her with her brown boo. Like, I was happy. I love seeing it. I love seeing just, you know, diversity in there. So.
Yep.
That's that. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? Any final words on Hush?
No, just thinking about, you know, again, Blumhouse, shout out to them. Thank you for making this movie.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see Jordan Peele's movie.
They're doing pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to more. And as Ashley said, with any of our listeners, if you guys check this movie out, feel free to tweet us or email us just your thoughts if you have the time. We love reading your stuff. It makes us feel wanted and loved. All right, guys. So, when we come back, we are going to give our recent watch recommendations. As well as some movies just to stay away from, and we're trying to help you. All right, right, guys. So I'm going to recommend this week is one of my favorites, and I finally own it. It's John P. Finnegan's Girls Who Screamers. I've been searching for this movie for such a long time, and I was told that it was out of print, or the only copy that I did find on either eBay or Amazon was about $75. So at first I was going to buy it, and because I just really, really wanted it. And I did find another one. It wasn't the greatest quality. It was $30, but I was willing to just buy that one. But then I was going to give up all hope, but then I just kept on scrolling, and then I found one that was only $7, including shipping and handling. Yes, so I had to buy it, which they also had some other awesome DVDs that I just might as well, $7. Basically, Girls School Screamers, it was released in 1986. It takes place in Philadelphia, actually. Kind of like the suburbies kind of place. And the plot pretty much follows like these group of college girls who are basically cleaning up and taking note of all the art in this really beautiful mansion that's known to be haunted, and it has kind of like a creepy past. So although it has like the usual setup of a horror movie, although Night of the Demons, and I always tell this to people all the time, Night of the Demons is one of my absolute favorite movies, but I feel like Girls School Screamers is the movie that kind of made me want to create films. So I just really, really love it. And I remember seeing it, like I've always had that feeling, that urge, like, oh, I want to make movies. But I think when I was like a teenager, late teens about, is when I really, really started to pursue it. And it was all because of this movie. So I'm just super happy to own it. So if you are a fan of slashers, this one is definitely a hidden gem. It does have some acting that is a bit off. However, it's still just very, very just lovable and just awesome to watch. So, highly recommend it.
Well, my recommendation is should be no surprise to anyone who stalks me. That's the word. The Invitation is definitely worth a watch. I can't talk about it too much because it's one of those films that you really have to see. Mm-hmm. I loved the hell out of that movie. So it is what everyone is saying it is. Again, I don't want to hype it up too much again. We talked about this earlier in the show. Definitely check it out for yourself and enjoy it. It's a movie that I am currently meditating on because I want to write about it so bad, but I don't even know where to start. If I don't write about it separately anytime before 2017, it's definitely going to be in the Graveyard Shift Sisters year-end recap in some capacity, where I'm going to at least do kind of a summary of how I felt about the film and how it affected me, even personally. Mm-hmm. As far as the other films I've seen, check out Darling. It is amazing.
Darling is awesome.
I watch too much Archer too. So like every time I say amazing, I think of this one character, this one like guest character who said amazing and amazing, like amazing in like this really queer, quirky ways. And so like that's how I think about amazing. But yeah, that's an excellent movie. So I thank you, Martin, for letting me see that film. He had access to it, so he let me kind of see a screener, so I was very happy about that. Also, I've seen I was able to finally catch the Psycho sequels, so Psycho 2 and Psycho 3 and then Psycho 4 the beginning. I liked all three movies for relatively different reasons. I love Psycho 4 just because CCH Pounder's in it, and she's a star, and I love CCH Pounder. And Anthony Perkins, I just, you know, every time I say the name Anthony Perkins, my hands go to my chest because I love him so much, and he's such a great actor. You know, good movie, bad movie, however you feel about the film, he was an excellent actor, and he really embraced the role of Norman Bates. So I saw that. I saw those three films for the first time. I finally saw The Last Exorcism. Finally saw that movie. Pretty good. And the movie that you mentioned before that I would encourage people to stay away from as well is Hashtag Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I told you. I tried to warn you. Like, you... Didn't you hear that sound of like, the cash register or something? Like, it just drove me insane. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're hot. Oh, yeah. 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 And it's just like, please.
Who thought that was good to put on camera?
I actually ran into some people, Facebook, who... This is group I'm a part of. There was a lot of people who was just like, oh, it sucked and all this other stuff. Just basically just letting the movie have it. And this one girl, oh, no, guys, I loved it. It was all these things. And she was really just trying to, like, defend it. And I get it. You can have your opinion and stuff. But she was kind of, like, bashing us. She was kind of, like, bashing us at the same time. So I don't know what was up with that. But okay.
Yeah, there's no justifying this movie. Yeah. It's not even a movie. It's something.
Exactly. And that little girl, like the one who was rude to her dad, who was dropping her off, she would have got slapped and left at the side of the road in the ice. Like, no, I would have threw her phone out the window. Like, I wish I would have a daughter that wants to disrespect me and I'm driving you around and I'm paying your phone bill. So, no. Not gonna happen.
So yeah, don't see that movie, y'all. Please don't.
I mean, unless you're curious, because I'm not gonna lie, I did want to see it. I wanted to see it so bad because I get what she was trying to do, you know, with social media. But it just, I think also what added to it, like for me, and I know it's just like Xena, that's just a sound effect. It was that sound, that cash register. I think that that was taken. For me, it was. It, like, gave me a migraine. I could hear it in my dreams. So, for me, it was that. And I respect that what she was trying to do. And I respect that she's a woman, you know? Like, woman power. But, hey, girlfriend, no. Just.
I've been a lot more open-minded about certain films like that after Unfriended, because Unfriended is so good. So I'm willing to give anything a shot. Even after hashtag horror, I'm willing to give films a shot that are, they focus on the tweens and teenagers of today. And I'm willing to watch those and see what it's saying, especially with the whole social media heavy era that we're in right now. So I'm willing to do it, but I don't know what in the world. I can't, like, when a movie's so bad, my brain doesn't even process coherency, because I don't know how do I talk about this movie. It's just not good.
I like that it was tweens, you know, they never really get love or anything like that, well enough. But I don't know, I know I keep on going back to that sound effect, but it was those sounds. And then they just kept with the colors and stuff. And it was just like, please, just stop it. Like, it actually reminded me of, what's the name of that movie? It came out around Halloween. Man, now it's going to bother me forever. Let me just see.
Satan's Little Helper?
No. God, that little kid. No.
Hellions?
Yes. Because with the whole color scheme changing up, I get that she was trying to, like, change things up, but it was just, it just made me tired. So, I don't know. That's just me. But I'm happy that you checked it out, though.
Yeah, but
enjoy it.
Because I'm like, after the first time, the whole colors and the cash register, I'm like, okay, don't do that again. And they kept going. I'm like, That had no place. That was so unnecessary, but okay.
Yeah, just, okay, so, all right. So, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
That's it for our episode. So, I am Ashley at Graveyard Sister on Twitter. The Facebook page is facebook.com/graveyardshiftsisters. Like the Facebook page, please. Graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com for your Black Women in Horror Library. It's graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com for your Black Women in Horror Archives. library archives, doesn't matter. What else? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm bad at social media shout-outs. GraveyardShiftSisters.com, the blog, check it out. You probably have already, but so thank you for reading and listening. I'm so bad at this, but yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you have more social media?
No, I was going to say, I'm not good at self-promotion, but now Zena.
Okay, well guys, you can find me at RealQueenOfHorror.com. I'm also on Facebook, that's just Facebook.com/RealQueenOfHorror. And on Twitter, Lovely Zena. Definitely check out the website for those of you who love things all horror. And again, thank you all for listening to this awesome episode. And just let us know what you thought about Hush, or if you have any favorite comedy horrors or horror comedies.
And send your questions and comments to girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at girlswillbeghouls. That's girls, W-I-L, B as in boy, ghouls. The site for any of our older episodes is girlswillbeghouls.wordpress.com. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so if you want to take us on the go, you can go there. And we're also proud members of the Legion Podcast Network, where you can find other great podcasts like The Podcast Under the Stairs, Kiss the Goat, used to be Dead Out of the Podcast, Evil Episodes, other great podcasts. Check them out.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.